You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 74. And today I've got a real treat. We've got a rock star in the house. We're going to be chatting with Melanie Dodaro and learning the trick to getting leads from LinkedIn. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson, your show host here. And I'm excited today. Not only does she share my awesome name, but she's wicked smart. And we're going to talk about using LinkedIn. So I'm super excited about that because I don't know about you, but I've found over the years that LinkedIn is a little mysterious. It's not the platform that I kind of intuitively knew what to do with. And Melanie has become my go-to person for that. But first, I need to let you know about something super time sensitive. I have a program called Profit Explosion Toolkit, and this is the tool I use with every client to map out how they're going to bring in 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 more in revenue, sometimes doubling, tripling, quadrupling, and 10xing their game plan for how to bring in consistent, predictable revenue. But here's where you come in. Right now, for a very limited time, it's on sale. So find out all about this tool at ProfitExplosionToolkit.com. Now, why should you go grab it? First of all, if you do not have a plan to increase your revenue and you're kind of winging it, then you definitely need to get it. And if you're someone who you love what you do, but sitting down and kind of mapping out the steps of what to do to keep consistent, predictable revenue coming in, you're going to love it. It makes this process so easy. And it's proven. I've used this over and over and over again with my clients and with my own business to find hidden gold, things that you're already doing, but you're not focusing on them. And it will keep you from actually getting that revenue boost you're looking for. So grab it now while it's on sale. Heck, you can grab it at any time. It's a valuable resource, ProfitExplosionToolkit.com. So let's get into today's episode. Well, I am super excited for today's episode. We're going to unlock some mysteries around a very popular social media platform, and I find it's one that people get a little confused how to really do the right thing to get the right leads. So we're talking to Melanie Dodaro today. Oh, Melanie, I'm so excited to have you here. Melanie, my sister name, which I don't get to interview very many Melanies, so it's always fun, but here's what I love about what Melanie's done. She's a preeminent authority on social selling on LinkedIn, and she helps individuals and businesses build authority, credibility, trust, and ultimately leading to more sales and revenue using strategies like LinkedIn. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background if you haven't heard her name before. She's on the top 100 digital marketers. She's on the top 50 sales influencers. She's on social selling, top 100 influencers and brands. She's the top 50 trustworthy digital marketing experts. I could go on and on. Another one that stands out, top 65 women business influencers. I mean, she's really built a very powerful, influential brand specializing in LinkedIn. She's also received so much media coverage, including being on ABC, Inside Edition, CBS, New York Post, The Globe, Huffington Post, The Toronto Sun, Inc. Magazine. But here's what I want you to pay attention to. She's the author of LinkedIn Unlocked and the LinkedIn Code. Plus, she teaches her proprietary methods through online programs, seminars, consulting, and done-for-you services. She's a globally renowned keynote speaker on LinkedIn and social selling. And she's also a globetrotter. She's been living in Spain, now recently relocated to Amsterdam. She's from British Columbia, Canada. She's always in the US. And that's how I got to meet her. I had some fabulous opportunities to spend some really nice time getting to know Melanie. Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah, it was last January in LA.
Holy mackerel, time is flying by. But Melanie, thanks for being here today. And I love getting to know you. I loved how amazing you are with LinkedIn. I follow what you do scrupulously because I know you really know what you're doing there. So glad to have you here. And I'm excited to talk about LinkedIn and your new book.
Thanks so much, Melanie. And it's my first time being interviewed by another Melanie.
I love it. I know it's not a really common name, is it?
No, not really.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll talk more about the book. I'm super excited about the book, by the way. I had an opportunity to review it early on and give you some kudos for the book. And I love what you're teaching in this book. I started applying some of it right away as soon as I read it. But let's back up a little bit. Like, how did you get to become a LinkedIn expert? Maybe kind of fill us in a little bit on the details of how you ended up here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I started out with a social media agency. And, you know, in the early days, we were doing a little bit of everything, with the exception of like Instagram, which kind of really wasn't around at that point. And what I found is that the majority of my clients were B2B professionals. So they were, you know, service providers, they were coaches, consultants, speakers, you know, they had a business that they were serving other businesses. And so for me, I noticed that best results always came from anything related to LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is the premier and really the only 100% business network, social network. So I just started focusing more and more on that, and noticed that, you know, the bulk of the results that we get for both my own business and my clients' businesses always came from LinkedIn. In fact, there's a recent study that shows that 80% of B2B leads that come from social media come from LinkedIn. So I saw this years and years ago, and I just started focusing a lot more attention on LinkedIn than some of the other social networks. And of course, from that has evolved a whole social selling process, which is really about how to use LinkedIn strategically and consistently to generate leads and clients.
I love that. You know, I think there's something to be said by paying attention to what works and maybe what works the best to attract our ideal clients. And, you know, following that thread did two things. What I hear is, one, it really helped you stand out in a very crowded social media expertise field. And two, it allowed you to actually attract more of your best clients. And so, you know, how does somebody know if LinkedIn's their platform versus Facebook or Twitter? Like, how do we kind of find that out for ourselves?
That's a great question. You know what, as long as your focus is B2B, there is not a question at all that LinkedIn's right for you. It's 100% right for anybody that's B2B. It's not necessarily right for everybody that has a B2C product or service. So if you're selling, you know, widgets to consumers or jewelry, you know, that's not, LinkedIn's not going to be ideal for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't set up a great profile and have a good personal brand, because, you know, LinkedIn is very powerful for that. If somebody is interested in learning more about you, they're going to Google your name, and your LinkedIn profile is going to show up at the top of the search results. So you want to make sure that you stand out and have a great profile. But in terms of utilizing it as a tool to generate more business, it's not going to be right for everybody, especially those in B2C. But no doubt, you know, if you're a B2B professional, a B2B service provider, a B2B business, LinkedIn is where you should be spending the bulk of your time when it comes to social media.
So this is interesting to me because, you know, LinkedIn kind of surfaced on the market as more of a, that's where you go if you want to get a job, right? Like, you want to position yourself in the marketplace, in the career or the corporate career path. You know, they're really good at having ways for you to put your resume out there. But what I hear you saying is it's way more than that now, because LinkedIn's really the place. So I'm assuming when you say B2B, you mean business owners would also be a potential fit if you want to use LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. Business owners, marketers, salespeople, anybody that's selling a service or a product to other businesses. And, you know, LinkedIn's worked really hard to overcome that misconception about being a place that you post your resume and a place that, you know, people either find jobs or recruiters, you know, look for talent. It very much was that, you know, when it first launched, but it's evolved and changed so much. In fact, the majority of B2B traffic also comes from LinkedIn in terms of traffic generation from LinkedIn to various sites. So it's really a premier platform for businesses to connect with their ideal customers, their ideal clients. And it's not about just putting up a profile. And I understand that a lot of people think, well, LinkedIn's just not fun. It's kind of boring. It's not exciting. Here's the deal. It doesn't have to be. You can have your fun on Facebook. Engage with your friends and family on Facebook. That's not what LinkedIn's for. So whether you're going to spend 15 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day or, 2 hours a week, whatever it is that you're going to dedicate to LinkedIn, you want to have some specific actions that you're going to do that are going to produce results. And I'm not talking about scrolling through the news feed and just, commenting on this and that, or maybe sharing the odd piece of content. That in of itself is not going to create results. And, there's a lot of social selling experts out there that's what they talk about all the time. You need to share content. You need to share content on LinkedIn. That's where all the results come from. That's not true. Yes, you need to share content. You need to share content to build your authority. You need to share content to stay top of mind. You need to do those things for certain reasons, but that doesn't put, business into your business. That doesn't add, revenue into your bank account. What does is using LinkedIn as a tool to actually connect with, to find, first of all, find your ideal prospects, connect with them, establish a dialogue with them, start to build a bit of a relationship with them, and ultimately move that conversation offline. And Melanie, I'm going to give you a perfect example of that. You and I have known each other for many, many years online. And I always say, we weren't looking for business from each other. So we were peers in a similar space, and we were, engaging with each other on social media here and there. But when I went to LA, I was like, okay, who do I know in LA that I haven't had the opportunity to meet in person yet? Because I'd love to be able to actually see somebody, face to face and have that, real in-person dialogue. And that totally transformed, our relationship, because we actually now really, truly know each other. Even though we kind of knew each other on social media, now we really know each other. And so, that's what LinkedIn is about. It's not about just engaging in the news feed and liking and commenting. And it's about finding those ideal prospects, creating a dialogue, and ultimately moving the conversation offline. Because it's offline you can find out who they are, start to build some rapport and trust, find out what their problems are, and if in fact you have a solution for their problems, offer that solution.
That's how
you generate business from social media.
I love that example. And I love that you brought up our personal example too, because there's a couple of layers to that. One, I absolutely agree that having that that personal connection changes everything. And it's funny, I look back over the years on all the people who I connected originally with on social media, and then we were either at an event or, they reached out and we created a personal experience. That transformed every one of those relationships from, oh, hi, I see you out there in social media world, to, I like this person, I want to support this person, and, they're becoming a friend. So I love that strategy. I think it's super important. Now, not everybody's going to get together for lunch. It's not always feasible. But even just taking that conversation offline makes the biggest difference. So thanks for putting those two ideas together. But I want to say one other thing, and that is, what you've done and really leveraging LinkedIn and all your other social media platforms to establish your authority helps tremendously too. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about that a little bit, because I think sometimes when you really want to connect with the movers and shakers and you want to build your circle of influencers, kind of going from influencer to influencer can really help open those doors. So how could we use LinkedIn to establish some of our credibility and authority?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, absolutely it opens doors, because, that third party credibility is so important. And that's what it is, right? So, how can you use this? One of the things we were talking about is, how you and I connected. Well, you're supporting my book launch. I don't have to look at every single person that I connect with on social media as a potential prospect. they're a relationship, and that relationship translates to different things. And you know, obviously building authority is something that, you know, requires a lot of different things. But I'm going to give you an example. And I share this example in my book. It's a story about a guy named Antonio Calero. He was from Australia. He's actually originally from Spain. He lives in Spain now again. But this guy reached out to me about 4 years ago or so, maybe it was five. And nobody knew who he was, but he was following me on social media. He was always engaging in my content that I shared. He was sharing my stuff, and he remained top of mind for me because he was just such an avid supporter, even though I didn't know really who he was. And he wasn't an influencer of any kind, but he was kind and he was sweet and he was just extremely supportive of the content that I shared. Anyways, he reached out to me via email and said, "Hey, Melanie, you know, I'd really love to post a guest blog on your website, on your blog, on your Top Dog social media blog." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And we hadn't actually been accepting guest bloggers prior to that. So he shared his blog post, and from there, he started reaching out to other, you know, social media influencers. And one by one, they were allowing him to do the same. He's like, "You know, I posted on Top Dog social media. Here's a link." And one by one, people started to embrace him because he was so nice and so kind and just such a good guy. And then over time, he then actually got the opportunity to publish articles on Social Media Examiner, which is, you know, anybody who knows social media, that's like the premier social media blog. So he came up to me. I was speaking at an event in San Diego, Social Media Marketing World, and he came up to me and he brought me presents. He was living in Australia at the time, so he brought me a little koala bear and a couple of other little things. And he said, "Melanie, I just want to thank you. It's such a pleasure to meet you in person." He's like, "You were the person that launched my career. Because of you allowing me to guest blog on your site, I had all these other opportunities. And from that came, you know, an opportunity for my dream job. And I want to just thank you so much." And I was like, "Wow, you know, that's so amazing." And I share his story because he was so great at being able to just really build relationships with people. And over time, through those relationships and that third party credibility, start to really establish himself as an authority.
I love that story. And every social media expert I've ever talked to or ever interviewed, that's the one common piece of advice is you can actually bond with and build rapport and trust with some of the influencers who can open massive doors for you by simply being kind and generous and really getting on their radar by sharing their content regularly. So that's a great story that shows it really does work.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some other examples, just quick ones is, you know, people have reached out to me that I didn't really know, but they were avid supporters and sharing my content and engaging with me on social media and said, "You know, Melanie, I'm writing a book. Would you do the foreword to it? Or, you know, will you endorse it?" And my answer is always yes to those people that have taken the time to really genuinely establish a relationship with me versus, you know, some random stranger just trying to pitch me on something right away.
Right. I'm the same way. Relationships go a long way. And I get a lot of requests, like to be on my podcast even. And I'm like, I love that you're courageous enough to ask, but, you know, I like to showcase people I know and I really believe in, and I know what they do will serve this audience. So it does, you know, it doesn't take a lot to build those relationships, but being intentional can make a huge difference. Okay. So I want to really like dig deeper into LinkedIn and give our audience a couple of great tips. What do you think is the best advice, the best strategy someone could use to improve their usage of LinkedIn?
Well, I'm going to give you a layered answer to that.
Okay.
Because the very first thing that you need to do is make sure that you stand out. So make sure that you have a really compelling profile that's professional and most of all client-focused. That's not all about you. So like, for those who are looking for a job, those are the people that actually do post a resume on LinkedIn. But those of us that are looking to use it as a business building tool, we're going to take a different approach. We're going to share a little bit about us. We're going to certainly enhance, you know, and talk about our credibility and our authority on our topic or our industry or our niche. But what we're going to really focus on is how we help, who we help, and how we help them. So the ideal clients, the specific problems that they have and the solutions that we offer to solve those problems. That's the key. So you want to lay the foundation with a great client-focused and compelling profile before you do anything else. The second thing I'd say is it's really important to learn, you know, the right etiquette and the best practices, because a lot of people just kind of dive in, don't take the time to learn anything, and wonder why they're not getting any results. Interestingly enough, so I'm big on personalization. So as part of etiquette, I always talk about personalize everything. You know, LinkedIn provides some default functionality. You know, you can send the connection request without personalizing it. You can send all kinds of different things without personalizing it, but it's the personalization that's actually going to produce results. And so I posted something the other day. I've had a lot of different LinkedIn connection requests recently, and to the degree that I haven't been able to keep up. So in my inbox right now is sitting 795 pending connections. This was like a few days ago when I had posted this on LinkedIn. And I said, you know, I went through these 795 connections just quickly to see how many were personalized. There was only 21 that was personalized. That's 2.6%. I had to do the math.
I was very impressed, by the way, that you did all that math, because I saw that post. I was like, oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And one guy actually said, I think it's a waste of time to personalize them. 30% of the connection requests that I send all mine unpersonalized, and 30% of them accept. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so 70% aren't, and you think you're saving time? How much time are you wasting doing things that absolutely don't work? Not to mention, you can get restricted on LinkedIn by sending a whole bunch of connection requests to people that click that I don't know button. So, you know, that's just absolutely ridiculous to me. Send 1/10 of the messages and send them personalized and watch those results, you know, skyrocket, because social media is about building relationships. Yet people are using these tools to collect connections instead of build relationships. So that's the second layer of your question, Melanie. You know, understand the, you know, and this is why I wrote my book. It's so important. Like, there's so many different things and nuances to know, and if you don't do them right, you're not going to get results. So the third thing is be strategic. You know, if you're looking to use LinkedIn as a business building tool, then follow what I call my link method. The link method. This is the 5-step process that I outline in my book in detail in terms of, you know, how to find those prospects on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's got a phenomenal advanced search function that you can add all kinds of different criteria to find people, from geography to titles to keywords to industries and so forth. Then once you've found them, make that first contact by sending the connection request and taking that 1 minute to personalize it. Once they've accepted that, this is where most people stop, and this is why they don't get any results with LinkedIn. Is how do you expect to get business from LinkedIn when you're actually not doing anything with it? So because somebody's accepted your connection request and you leave it there, do you just magically expect business to appear? You don't. You need to take the next step, which is engage in a dialogue. And this is where you send what I call a welcome message. This is, hey, you know, thanks so much for connecting with me. You know, maybe you're going to compliment them on something you've seen in their profile or something about their business, and just kind of start a little bit of a dialogue. And then, you know, you want to continue to move this process along. You know, a week later or so, you might be sending them another message that's a relationship building message and offering them something that's of value to them. So you've come across something that you think that they benefit from. You want to introduce them to somebody, or you have a resource of something that you think would be really interesting to them. You want to establish enough rapport and connection before you move to that fifth step and that final step, which is, you know, once you feel like you've earned enough right to ask for that offline conversation, then go ahead and move that conversation offline. Say, hey, you know, love to, you know, just take this conversation offline. Do you have, you know, even 10 minutes to just jump on a quick call or a Skype call or a Zoom call or whatever, and ultimately move that conversation offline? Because it's offline that you convert, you know, prospects to clients. Yeah. Now, for some of us, you know, we have online programs or we have books and we're not actually speaking to somebody. So, you know, I have a lot of people that will buy things from me that actually never speak to me. But if they're buying one of my higher end, you know, done for you services that are, you know, a higher price they're never buying that without actually having a conversation with me. So, you know, this is where you get that opportunity to move that conversation offline and get to know that person and get to know their problems. Ask those questions. Those are the three things. If you do nothing else but those three things, you'll be able to generate clients on LinkedIn without, you know, without a question. The other thing, of course, that you want to do to enhance this long-term is start to elevate your authority, your credibility, and your trust by sharing great content, by engaging with people, and you know, really kind of sharing quality content that's going to position you as an authority or a thought leader, depending on, you know, your business and what your goals are. So that content should be a combination of your own content and other people's content.
Yeah, it's funny. I watch people on LinkedIn and I watch what works and I watch what doesn't work when it comes to content. And what's your thought on the, you know, the kind of the more behind the scenes and more personalized content versus more businessy content? Because I've kind of seen both work for different types of people.
Yeah, and both do work. Here's what I love about LinkedIn. Okay. What happens when you post a business-related article on your personal Facebook profile or business page? Absolutely nothing, because nobody is interested in that when they're on Facebook. On LinkedIn, you can get massive traction from that. You can get tons of people like engaging with it, sharing it, commenting on it, viewing it, clicking on it. Those things aren't happening on Facebook. So business-related content on LinkedIn does phenomenally well. Personal content has to be done the right way. And I would say, you know, kind of like a little business personal is fine, but not too personal, because LinkedIn is not a, you know, a personal kind of fun social network. We already talked about that. It's more of a business platform. So you want to keep it professional. That doesn't mean that you can't reveal a little bit about who you are, or your story, or, you know, share little personal things every once in a while. But the more you can tie those personal things into business, the better off it'll be for you in terms of what your goals are in using the platform.
Yeah, that's a great distinction. It's funny. I watched somebody get massive hate posts because they were making their LinkedIn posts too personal. And you know, it was like a big aha for them, realizing like, yeah, that's, I guess this is not the right platform. But they would share, you know, something about their speaking and it would get great traction. So, you know, just, I love this nuance of really make it for the business audience, and it's not the place to share what you had for dinner, what you went to the coffee store to get, unless you're working at the coffee store and that's your work environment and you can tie it into a business post. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to tackle a couple of no-nos, and one of them is I want to tie back into what you're saying about how you approach people. This is so important. I just went and checked my LinkedIn requests right now. So I'm just shy of 200 requests that I've just, you know, kind of lost the connection because there was no personalization. So when I have time to go into LinkedIn, or, you know, once in a while my assistant will help me out with this, she'll scan, or I'll scan for the personal request. And if I don't know this person and there's no email explaining why we should connect. And by the way, I'm just going to even push back a little bit on the, hey, we're in these groups together, or I see you're a friend of so-and-so. I don't really care, actually. Tell me what you like about my profile and why we should connect. That's what gets me to really kind of take the effort to be more active. So is there any other no-nos that really we should pay attention to on LinkedIn?
Yeah, great question. I love what you said about the groups. You know, nobody's engaging in LinkedIn groups anymore. So, you know, by saying something like that is kind of useless, as is we're both connected to somebody, because most people don't know who the people that they're connected to on LinkedIn.
Exactly.
So it's kind of useless.
Right.
The biggest no-no is a lack of personalization. So, you know, not taking that time to personalize. The other one is, you know, messages that are irrelevant. So, you know, I get a lot of messages from people saying, hey, you know, we're having this, you know, lunchtime workshop in New York this Thursday. I want to invite you. Well, look at my profile. Not only do I not live in New York, I don't even live in the country. Do you think I'm going to fly into New York for a lunchtime meeting? Like, pay attention, you know. here's the thing. People are so confused by some of these platforms because they're relatively new. Even though, you know, they're well over a decade old now, they're still relatively new to a lot of people. Here's how you need to think about it. Would you do that in person? If you wouldn't do it in person, don't do it on LinkedIn.
That's great advice.
You know, it's really, really quite simple. The other thing is, you know, you always want to think about, you know, I always talk about the WIIFM filter. This is how everybody's going to see everything that you do from and you say, from your profile to your content to your messages. The only thing that they're thinking about is what's in it for me. And so if at any time your message seems self-serving, they're going to ignore it.
Can I give you an example that I've had a lot? That's one of my pet peeves about that self-serving.
Yes.
And you alluded to it earlier. And that's when you move that, let's take this conversation offline, too early.
Yes.
I think it's one of the kind of like the dastardly mistakes. Like you're annihilating our connection when the first message I receive from you is, hey, like I can do this, this, and this for you. You want to have a chat? Like, I don't even know yet, right?
And that's called a sales pitch.
Yes.
And there should be no sales pitches online.
Yes. Right.
You know, yeah.
And people are making that mistake so much on LinkedIn. And I see it in particular with service-based business owners the most. And sometimes, you know, the network marketing crew gets a little aggressive. But yeah. I think, you know, going back to what you said earlier is like really looking at how can I add value? How can I just be heartfelt? How can I ask them a question that might help us get to know each other better? And really like being strategic and being intentional about building rapport and trust before you try to move that conversation offline. Don't try to skip those steps because you're probably going to get unfollowed, unconnected, I guess, in the LinkedIn language. And you're certainly not going to entice me to want to engage with you further.
You're absolutely right. You can't skip those steps. In doing so, it's a waste, like you're not going to have results. You know, one of the biggest things I talk about in my book and in live, you know, presentations that I do is the sales dialogue needs to shift. It needs to shift from what can I sell you to how can I help you?
I love that.
And so sending these messages, they're sales pitches. And again, this comes back to the WIIFM. All they're thinking about is what's in it for me. You're sending a message saying, oh, you know, let's have a phone call. And you know, it's a sales pitch, you know, it's like, no, thank you. No, I don't want to be sold, you know, but you know, if you've established enough, like I said, rapport and trust and you've positioned yourself as a credible authority, people are much more likely to have a call with you. I can't think of probably anybody, if I sent them a message on LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, I'd love to have a call with you, that wouldn't say, absolutely, Melanie.
Yeah, totally. Because of that rapport. And I think that's great. You know, you've shared some great excerpts for what's in the book, your new book, Unlocked. What do you think is like the big takeaway, the big key concept behind Unlocked?
LinkedIn Unlocked.
LinkedIn Unlocked, yep.
Well, the big takeaway is really that you need to approach this from a methodical, strategic standpoint. And if you do the right things in the right order, you can have massive results with this. My goal is to really have people have an actionable plan because, you know, businesses don't succeed without a plan. And, you know, businesses are going to grow 5 times faster with a written plan. Same thing with LinkedIn. If you have like a certain number of like specific action items that you're going to do daily and weekly, and they're producing results week after week after week, then you want to just keep doing those because they work. So my goal is to not create more work for people because we only have so much time. It's about looking at what are the highest leveraging activities that you can do and how can they maybe even replace some of the other things that you're doing? Because you might be spending a lot of time doing other things that aren't producing results. And so looking at, you know, what is it that you can be doing to actually generate more clients and more revenue for your business? And I don't know of any other way that's better than having a direct outreach plan on LinkedIn where you do this, you know, from find those connections to connect with them and then send them through a sequence of messages that are personalized, that are adding value to them, that are building rapport, that are earning trust, to get to the point where it's comfortable and you've earned the right to move that conversation offline. Nothing is going to grow your business faster and easier than that. It's a whole lot better than going and standing in networking meetings or picking up the phone and cold calling or cold emailing. You know, there's a few extra steps in this. And, you know, salespeople, I do a lot of teaching, training for sales organizations. So, you know, companies with sales teams, and those salespeople are so quick to want to just go into that sales pitch. And they're like, well, this takes more time. I'm like, yeah, you know, it does take more time, but here's the thing. It works. How much time are you spending, wasting time on doing all these things that aren't producing any results? You could spend 1/10 of the time spending double the amount of time on LinkedIn, for example, and have, you know, exponentially better results.
It's almost like there's a mindset shift that many people have to be willing to have about, you know, it's not about more effort. It's about optimizing the effort you have. And if you could make something work better and it takes less time to get 10 times better results, why would you not do it? And it sounds like that's what you're really mapping out for us in LinkedIn Unlocked.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. You know, I think like taking the mystery out of how to do LinkedIn, because it is very different than a lot of the other social media platforms, it makes it so that it's easier to drop in, know what to do, make sure you're really optimizing your effort, and then you can go about doing the other things you do. And I think that's why people don't use LinkedIn sometimes. I know it was like why I didn't until you and I had that great talk that one time. I really didn't know how to use LinkedIn and I felt kind of lost. And so I wasn't doing anything with it. So I hope people will get LinkedIn Unlocked and kind of demystify what to do and know that what you're doing can have maximum impact with minimal effort.
Absolutely. You said that beautifully.
You can take that and run with it. So how do we get LinkedIn Unlocked? Where is it? I believe that it's live now, right? You've just gone live with the book.
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon, either in the digital version or physical printed version. So it's you can buy it there. But if you go to LinkedInUnlockedBook.com, there's also some extra special bonuses that you can get when you purchase the book, including a downloadable workbook with all of the worksheets and the action plans and the templates and all that all in one spot. So that you've got that really handy to utilize as your action plan going forward.
So that's LinkedInUnlockedBook.com. Did I get that
right? Yes.
Okay, great. I have to tell our listeners, as you're listening in, what Melanie puts out is so good. You know, you're one of those people that I feel like your quality is at the top of the game. And it's so helpful to have a step-by-step process. I'm a huge fan of get the system, follow the system. Don't try to figure it out on your own. So I hope you guys will go get the LinkedIn Unlocked book right now at LinkedInUnlockedBook.com and take advantage of those great resources to take the mystery out. I mean, even if you don't want to do it yourself, you can hand that off to your virtual assistant and have your virtual assistant learn it and help you implement. You don't have to do it all yourself.
Absolutely. That's the key. When you've got a process up, and I have a program that I offer that's more of a done-for-you service. I call it LinkedIn Domination. That's what I do. I create everything for them. So I write their profile. I create the message sequences. I set everything all up for them, and I create that action plan. And then I do a tutorial training, and I said, "Hey, listen, you don't need to do 90% of this. Turn this over to an assistant, because everything's kind of like now at this point in time, it's a paint by numbers system. You know, just follow that, and yeah, there's many, many things that you can delegate and not have to spend time on. Obviously, the real interactions and the responses, and those are the things that you don't want to assign to somebody because you want to speak in your own voice and you don't know what if they're going to say the right things."
Yeah, I totally agree. And I didn't know you were doing that done for you service. So that might take the pressure off and really make this something that, you know, someone who's not super savvy on LinkedIn, it'll make it so much easier. I'm glad you brought that up. All right. Well, I could probably talk to you for hours. We're definitely going to have another lunch, but I don't think I'm getting to the Netherlands anytime soon. So you got to make sure you let me know when you're breezing through LA next time.
Oh, come on. You don't want to have lunch in Amsterdam?
I do, actually. Maybe I need to change my game plan. Maybe it's not Italy next year. Maybe it's Netherlands. Hey, I've never been to Amsterdam.
I'd be happy to fly to meet you for lunch in London, in Rome, whatever city you choose.
That might be easier. Okay, we'll make a plan. We'll make it happen. But I want to wrap up with something that I'm loving asking my guests lately, and it's about being bold. So what do you find was the boldest thing you did that accelerated your business?
Oh, the boldest thing I did that accelerated my business.
And it can be personal, by the way. It can be a personal bold.
Yeah. No, you're going to love this, Melanie. This is like so up your alley. So I might have told you about this when we were having lunch. I used to be terrified of speaking. And so I knew if I was going to grow a business, especially in the digital realm, that, you know, offline is just as important as online. So I might be, you know, a digital marketer and sharing all these digital things, but I'm such a big believer in offline things. And that's, you know, meeting people in person and speaking at events and doing different things. And so speaking has been the most challenging thing for me and the most rewarding thing for me, because I actually love it now. And I never thought I would. I was terrified in the beginning. And, you know, it's exponentially, you know, increased my visibility, my credibility, my authority. I wouldn't be on all these, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of lists if it was just for my online presence. It's also because people know me and have seen me, you know, be a speaker at some of the biggest events. So that's made a world of difference.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I'm a huge proponent of speaking to help build your credibility and stand out in a crowd. I mean, we all know that it's one of the things that puts us on the authority list, but the fact that you were so scared by it at first and you got over it, that's such a gift for people to hear. So I'm glad you went there.
You know, I would love to just share. It'll just take 30 seconds to share how I got over it. Because I took all kinds of different courses and I hired coaches and I did hypnosis and I did all kinds of crazy things to try to overcome the fear. Nothing helped. I was working with this business coach in the US and I was on my way to speak at a speaking engagement. So this is in my early days and I was taking every kind of speaking engagement that came to me, mostly local. And so I was going to speak to this group of 100 people. And on my way there, he sent me a text message saying, "Hey, Melanie, how are you doing? You know, are you nervous?" And I sent him this snarky text message back saying, "Well, of course I'm nervous. I'm terrified of speaking." And he sent me a message back saying, "Melanie, just remember, it's not about you. It's all about them." And in that moment, everything in my life and my world changed. Because I realized that the reason I was afraid was that I'm a perfectionist. I was worried, am I going to stumble a word? Am I going to forget something I want to say? Are people going to think I look okay? Is my hair okay? You know, like all these different things. It was like, how are people going to judge me? I was worried about me. It was all about me. And the moment I realized that, I literally got to the speaking engagement and I just like really paid attention to the audience and just kind of like felt them. And I was like, I'm just here to serve. And this isn't about me. And in that moment, I overcame all my fear.
That's such great advice. Thanks to your business coach. And thanks for passing it on. It's important to remember, in any way we're visible to our audiences, it's never about us. It's always about the person that we're inspiring or creating wisdom for, or providing a massive shift in their perspective and giving them the keys to creating what they need and want. So thanks for sharing that great story. Thanks for being here today. I know how crazy busy you are getting this book out there in the world. So really honored to have you on Amplify Your Success podcast. And again, as you're listening in, I hope you're feeling as inspired as I am to go get the book, LinkedInUnlockedBook.com, and that way you'll be able to grab those awesome bonus resources, the workbook, and all of those great gifts. So Melanie, thanks so much for being here, and we'll be seeing much more of you around the social media block over the next few months, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Melanie. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
You got it. As you're listening in, thanks for being here. We'll be back next week with another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success podcast. I am Melanie Benson, and I can't wait to hear how you take today's episode and spark some new possibilities. If you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love. That on the show page, there are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram at Coach Melanie Benson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.